Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. This is Recruiting Intel, our early week look at the latest news on the recruiting trail. Make sure you like this video. Also, make sure you subscribe to the channel. And, of course, head to InsideTexas.com today, where, Justin, we get to talk about some more updates on the recruiting trail. I think this is a good time of year for people to start to get familiar with, 2027 guys and, maybe the guys in the next cycle that coaches are putting eyes on for the first time. But 2026 recruiting is seeing some new names pop up. Coaches are traveling around the country, and a few have been able to earn offers in the last couple of days.
Yes. So the staff that doesn't push for a commitment until like 48 hours before early signing day is still in evaluation process. I love that about Sark and these guys. Most classes, they've got a big board already set. USC's already got a class and a half committed. Texas is still doing evaluations. You got to love that. And I think Charlie said it best, or maybe it was Eric. I think Mark Orfe has a type, because that long corner slash safety that they offered the other night, yesterday out of Florida, Jaden Broadnax. Hey, man, Louisville commit. Look, that dude is long, rangy, twitchy, all of the above. I see some Samari Matthews and Hayward Howard Jr. in their game, in his game, and so that's similar. And I think the number's going to be three, probably four at corner, and so that's a new one to watch. And then I got to be honest, I got to see some tape of the new linebacker offer. Jan Trudeau, I think is how you pronounce it. All I know is all these new offers, none of them have a name that I can pronounce well. You've either got – some French Canadian guys, or you've got some South Louisiana sounding names. Either way, he's a three-star athlete, a little under the radar, 6'1", about 215. He is a natural inside linebacker. Like, this guy looks fantastic. Of the 226 is new offers that you have to watch. And so that kind of gives you an idea. We know Kosi Okpala and Texas are trending well at linebacker, but we're trying to kind of figure out the rest of the linebacker cycle. And so now you can add Bo to the mix as well. And I know he is, from what I understand, he's looking at scheduling an official visit in the next few weeks. And so, yeah, new 2026 offers. They handed out more to 2027s, but that's just because they're on the road. They're in that eval period too. And when they see somebody good they like, they jump on it.
Of course, head to Inside Texas. We got some of those guys marked up in a story. But first, we'll talk about one that just missed the outside of the story. That's Jaden Broadnax from West Boca Raton, Florida.
He was in the story. He was in the story.
Oh, he is. He is.
I put them all in there.
Gotcha. I guess I scrolled past them. Charlie, you got to see a little bit of what this guy offers. And, as Texas looks all over the country, Florida, a place where Louisville is often gone. Charlie did it pretty well, and I think they've gone back there. But a lot of teams can go there, and Texas is looking to get a top 300 prospect from there with this offer.
Yeah, I mean, I like this kid. I like a long, athletic, lean cornerback, right? You can add some muscle to him. He probably won't get too big, than that. He has almost like the Cedric Griffin build, right? Ced was kind of tall and lanky coming out of high school. But this kid, he also plays receiver, so he has good ball skills. He's pretty much do-it-all DB or player for West. Is that Boca Raton? Did I pronounce that right, Florida?
Boca.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah, Boca. But, yeah, just watching this film a little bit, though, he's quick.
The land of bagels.
He returns kicks as well, so he pretty much can do it all. I think he's just another guy that they have identified. Like you said, Coach Orfe has a type, right? And if you look at it, it seems like they're getting guys who, if they want to go cover zero, cover one, they can do it. I can pressure at the line of scrimmage. You can't go anywhere, and I can run with you down the field. Or I also can play zone, right? They're getting guys who can be flexible, multiple in the secondary, to where nobody has to maybe come out, switch out per personnel or anything like that to face a certain opponent. These guys can just rotate, kind of like that old 2003-2005 DBs, if you look at it. Ross can match up with anybody. Terrell Brown could. Ced Griffin could. Huff could. Griffin could. I'm not calling this class that they're recruiting. I'm just saying those guys have the same kind of versatility to me.
Justin, they have Hayward Howard in the class now. First defensive commit. You still said you think it's three. We've got confidence in Samari Matthews. Why do you think this offer may have been thrown out?
I think because there are two guys in this on the top targets on the board that are athletes that are pending between wide receiver and corner. Jalen Lott out of Frisco, Panther Creek, and then Jermaine Bishop out of Willis. And so I think the number's four. I think three would be the minimum. Four would be if you're not going to tell Justice Fitzpatrick, you know, some of those higher-end guys. But also at the same time, I think it's two things. It's one, it's Lott and Bishop's ambiguity on which position they're going to be playing. I think that's part of it. And two, Akina's got a type, and that's the type that can play all three spots in the secondary. He doesn't just want a corner. He doesn't just want a nickel. He doesn't just want a safety. He wants the versatile guy. Broadnix is the guy that can do all three of those positions. He's actually been offered by a handful of schools at safety. Some of them even listed him as safety, or face sees him as a corner, honestly. But they're just trying to get some more clarity and do some more evaluating. That's what's so great about this staff. Like, you know, if you're coming in and you're trying to rebuild the program, you probably have to take a few guys earlier, take a few flyers. They're not in that position now. They can be so picky, and that's exactly what they're doing. Again, some of these boards are already filled up in some of these programs. Texas is still evaluating, and they see a guy, Orfe and Akina, that can do all three things in this Broadnax kid. Don't be surprised if he pops into June for an official visit. But I think the number could be four. It just depends on where Jalen Lott and Jermaine Bishop wind up, and if they're in Austin, what side of the field.
We'll go to Bo Gendreau. And Justin, you talked a little bit about him earlier from Arizona. Not as highly ranked, but from an area where Johnny Nansen's extremely familiar, you know, recruiting the West Coast, recruiting Southern California for so many years. And you had mentioned Okpala, but it seems like after that, your guess at the linebacker priority board is as good as anybody's.
It's kind of up in the air right now. You know, I keep saying there's a couple that are going to potentially take OVs out of California. I keep saying Nansen's going to get one of these West Coast kids. And Taven Epps doesn't count because he's a 2027 and he's probably an edge anyway. So Epps doesn't count. So we're still waiting for Johnny Nansen to grab his guy in California. Might be in Hamilton, Arizona, or Hamilton High School in Chandler, Arizona. You know, this kid is, like I said, he's got some natural middle linebacker, inside linebacker to him. He never gets caught in the wash. He's constantly hitting gaps. Like, this is a kid that I think is a little underrated. And again, some of these offers he has are as athlete. So that they just see him as a natural football player. But that linebacker board is a little up in the air. And what's crazy is I think they're being really particular there too. And because they have the greatest sales pitch right now for the linebacker position, Anthony Hill, Leona LaFau, Ty Anthony Smith, you're not going to find three better in the country altogether. You know, they're all different. They all add their own, you know, their own little spice. And so I think they're still evaluating guys. They like a couple out of California. They like the kid out of Nevada. They like the linebacker out of Florida. So right now, I think they like Paula, and they're just trying to figure out the other two spots. I don't think it's going to be more than three. I think the number is three because this will be what was Anthony going into his junior year. So this will be the last year with Anthony Hill, and they're going to have to restock after that.
Coach, when you look at 6'1", 215, maybe that's an exaggeration. You know, it happens these days. So maybe he's 6 foot, 210. Still, you can
see. Look at his shoulders.
He
is not hiding 215.
But we know that Johnny Nansen, you know, all these coaches have types. And just as important as being able to, you know, read the triangle, filter through gaps is coverage. Have you got a chance to see what this guy offers? And what do you think of him?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch his film a little bit. He is an aggressive downhill linebacker. He'll blow some stuff up. Like, and now he's one of the old school linebackers. If you're running ISO at him, he'll go blow the fullback up and shock and release and get off and make a tackle, right? Yeah. But I'm going to trust Johnny Nansen. If he offered this kid, then I trust him. You look at the linebacker he had at Arizona. I can't think of the kid's name. You know he hit the portal, but he was only 5'11", but he led Arizona in tackles. Didn't matter. So it doesn't really matter to me about size. If he kid's 6 foot, if he is 5'11", he's a ball player. He gets to the ball. He makes tackles. He makes plays. That's what matters the most. This is old school. It might be dating me a little bit, but one of the best linebackers I saw growing up. And when the Carolina Panthers had an expansion team, they had Sam Mills. Well, Sam Mills was maybe 5'10". I don't know. Probably the smallest guy on the field, but he was lethal coming downhill and you know, bringing the pad. So, but I like this kid. If Johnny Nansen thinks he's an offer, then hey, I'm going to go with that. Hey, you know way more about linebackers than me.
Sam Mills came from that linebacking core with the New Orleans Saints with Ricky Jackson and all those guys. And he went to Carolina, I think, on the last part of his career. But that's a great comp, coach. Like, that's a – I really like that comp. And also, like you said, you know, they don't always have to be, you know, tall guys.
No.
Travion Howard led the Big 12 in tackles his senior year to play for the Rams. Nick Martin led the Big 12 in tackles 2 years in a row.
Right.
He just got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. Natural linebackers don't have to be tall. Mm-hmm. They just have to be mean and instinctive. And I think that's what we see with Jardine. I got to get that kid's name right.
Jandro. Looking Jandro, at some of the
Tandro, like okay,
Jandro.
Jandro.
Looking at some of the other aspects of that recruitment, he's got a twin brother, similarly ranked safety. It looks like a number of schools are recruiting both of them. Recruiting Bo, you got USC, Oregon, Washington, and Oklahoma. Recruiting both are Oklahoma and Washington. So that could be a factor. We may have to be on the lookout for his twin brother, Nico. It says they have family up in Washington. This is via some Chad Simmons reporting. And Arizona, the in-state school, always going to be a factor there.
I think the Washington connection, too, Jed Fish had started recruiting him last year, and that's why there's a little bit more of a tie there.
So it should be a fun recruitment to track out on the – not the West Coast, but in Arizona. Before we keep going, got to show
some – call Arizona the West Coast? Or do you call it the Southwest?
Well, you got some – you have any oceanfront property out there?
Only a little. And it's more of a pond.
We'll get George to we'll get Laura Baker to sell you some oceanfront property. She could probably do it. We got another sponsor, though. Got to hit Roback.
There's only one way to describe Roback. Best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look with a comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers. They are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's ROBACK.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20.
One of the next things we got to talk about, who are the most 10 most important recruits in the 2026 class that are not committed to Texas? And our guy Eric Naline wrote this the other day. It's worth a good look at. I think off the top, we can go with the guys that are going to be on this list all the time. Felix Ojo, Mark Bowman, John Turntine, Jalen Lott, and I think we got to include KJ Edwards in there, Jermaine Bishop as well. Like we talk about those guys so often.
Yeah.
They are in-state guys for the most part, need to be, you know, guys that Texas adds in this class. Bowman, the only out-of-state exception, but he's just such a premium guy. These are just big-time players at premium positions from within driving distance that, you know, obviously makes sense why they're most important. We've talked about them a ton. We feel good about Texas to varying degrees for most of them. You know, there are some recruitments where Texas leads, some where Texas is in a, you know, top three position, things like that. We've got predictions in for a handful of them. So those are some guys that we've covered pretty well. But there are some other ones that we haven't been able to touch as much, at least in recent weeks. And let's start with Jamie and Winfield. You know, this is a move-in from the state of Mississippi, found his way to Richardson. Texas was all over him, but turns out, as USC has done in several recent cycles, They got a defensive commitment early on from Winfield, and now Longhorns are playing from behind a little bit for a prospect they really want in the class.
Yeah, man. Look, Winfield's my guy. Look, USC, you know, you made the first move. Congratulations. but I do not see Winfield end up in Southern California. That's just my take. Just getting to know him, you know, people around him. Mom loves Coach Kenny Baker. They love Texas. On and off the field, what they can do for Jamion. So I think at the end of the day, Texas has the total package. Plus, they're winning on the field. You can't beat that. I get a chance to play in the spotlight, yeah. Playoff, semifinal game, potential make it to the national championship, or, you know, play a few games. I guess I get to be on the West Coast to see the beach and palm trees, but it's not the same. Right? So at the end of that, I really feel like he'll end up in his class at Texas. That's just my vote of confidence there.
Justin, this kind of seems like the only in-state – correct me if I'm wrong – this is the only in-state defensive tackle that the Longhorns really are tracking.
Yes. Yes, right. Well, there's a few others. They got their eyes on Keith Doughty. What's that? Mesquite Poteet?
Yeah, Poteet.
Is it Doughty or Doughty?
Doughty.
Charlie? Yeah. Doughty. And they've got a few eyes on a couple other guys. But honestly, I think 2027 is when it's going to kind of shift back. The cycle kind of goes back up. Look – the best one in state this year is a move-in. And so I just think it's been a little down in this. And not to mention it's been so up in Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi, where Texas has been hunting these D-linemen lately. So, yeah, Jamion's he's far and away. There's a few other guys. There's a few projects that I think are probably worth it. But 2027 is where it's coming back around to. You got Key Adrian Redman. You've got Charlie, help me out here. There's a
guy. Kyron Haywood.
Haywood, baby. Yes.
Yeah, you have a ton. Zane Rowe, I know he's not an interior guy, but on the edge. I mean, another one, 27.
Right. So it's cycling back up. So Winfield might be the best in this state. And there's a couple other guys I think they would really like. I thought Doughty looked incredible, and in, you know, when Charlie came back from Mesquite Poteet. But that's why I think they're fishing so much in the Southeast region in this cycle. They'll come back. They'll fish a little bit. They'll put out some more hooks for 2027 in-state.
We'll keep on going, and this is a good way to get a question from our guy Big T. Is Texas still in on any of the top wide receivers in this class? I think the national hopes have, you know, when you're thinking of some of the modern-day guys, namely Chris Henry, when you're thinking of some other, you know, big national guys, it's been winnowed down, but they still have – these two options, you know, one and a half, I guess to say, but obviously Aaron Gregory, Texas A&M commit, somebody that they have been after for a long, long time. You can see Eric mentions he's got length and ball winning skills like Khalik Lockett. Chris Jackson has continued to pursue Gregory over the course of the past few months. And even though he's pledged to A&M, still just continues to chip away and recruit.
He does. You know, they're not pushing a whole lot, but they are keeping close tabs on Gregory. He committed to A&M last October, pretty much out of nowhere. Him and his teammate were visiting there on an unofficial visit. And again, I hear that, you know, he's solid to A&M, but then sources close to him say he's not going to wind up at A&M. Texas is going to want to pick up the scraps there. Like, this is that long outside guy that every cycle needs. He gets vertical quickly. I saw him do a lot of damage when they played Carrollton and Zealous Hicks. Like Gregory can go. He can stretch the field. And so that this kid, you know, I like this, what he adds. There's some Khalik Lockett to his game, I think. And I mean that in the fashion that there's no weakness. He's just very well-rounded. He does everything pretty dang well. And so Gregory's going to be a guy. I think that's their main out-of-state guy. Jackson always has one out-of-state guy that he just goes all in on. Aaron Gregory, I think, has been that guy for probably 6 months or maybe even longer.
At this point, the other in-state guys are going to include Caden Finley. Yes. They do have Christopher Stewart committed. We've talked about how they're viewing Jalen Lott's recruitment, athlete, you know.
And or Bishop, yeah.
And with Jermaine Bishop, who – Eric talks about a little bit here. I did want to get to, you know, I think we've covered a lot of those guys, but these are the two big ones that we may not know or may not have touched on as much as some of the other guys. Vodney Cleveland from the Birmingham area, and then Jerralyn McCoy from Tupelo, Mississippi. I know we talked about him, but let's talk about Vodney Cleveland. Justin, you know, seems like Kenny Baker just likes to look around the Southeast for his defensive tackles, and this is someone that Texas, I think, has gone to see in person over the course of this spring in a variety of different ways. And now Texas is a contender for what Cleveland for his signature.
Yeah, Texas has seen this cat twice. Once in late January, I think early February, and then again like 3 weeks ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago. You know, we're talking about Orfe having types. Kenny Baker has a type.
Oh, yeah.
Big, mean, and strong. And, man, Vodney Cleveland, listen, you know, recruits talk a lot. They and for good reason. They have fun with the process. They like the star rankings. They like the offers, da-da-da-da-da. Every class has two or three that don't say a word. Yeah. They're just quiet. And those are the ones you want. Vodney Cleveland does not talk. He just plays. And I think that's what's so endearing. You know, 5 years ago, he's going to Alabama. Nick Saban is not letting that kid get anywhere outside of state lines. Those days are gone. So Kenny Baker's going, and Cleveland's a guy that – here's the thing with Cleveland. I think he's wide open. And I want to say he was a former Bama commit anyway. I think he was a former Alabama commit, if I remember correctly. But either way, I think he's wide open. And I think that's what gives Texas the advantage. I think since Bama's not in it or as in it, that opened up so many other paths. A bunch of big schools are after him, Georgia, Auburn, LSU, all the main ones in that region. But – Kenny Baker's done some really good work with Cleveland. And, you know, he set that OV, what, 3 months ago? He was ready and willing to get on campus. I don't think he made it in for an unofficial during that April scrimmage weekends. I don't think he did. But either way, he might be the top out-of-state D-line target. Like, that's how much they value him. And again, Baker has a type. Big, mean, and strong. Definitely. Vodney Cleveland doesn't say much, and that should scare us all.
I think Cleveland made it in for the spring game.
Okay. Well, you mean the spring scrimmage?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I
couldn't remember if he made it in or not, because I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, he told
Chad. Obviously, it's a great sign that he did. I'm not surprised if he did. I know he was supposed to at some point, but that's good confirmation.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you, I think he's wide open, and I think that's the recruitment that Texas can win.
Yeah, how wide open is he? He's considering North Carolina, and I know Belichick's Belichick, but that's kind of like the, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah, we don't even know if Chapel Bill is going to be in North Carolina past this season either.
18 days.
If Jordan Hudson's not doing the recruiting, I don't know what's going on.
18 days, we'll find out. Last but not least, Jarelyn McCoy. Edge for the most part. Charlie, Charlie, you're big on this guy as well.
Yeah, I love this kid, man. He's one of those guys you build in the lab. Like, you can do so much and develop him, get his body right once he gets to college. Like, he's tall, long, tall, athletic. What do you want? I'm not calling him Julius Peppers. I'm just saying he got that kind of a freak of a build to him. Or you can say Javon Curse, right? He's one of those. He's just a dude off the edge, man. Big, strong, physical, fast, like quick twitch, whatever you want to ask. Like, when he gets to wherever he goes to school, hopefully it's Texas because he's a must-get, he's going to dominate. And he's going to dominate in a different style than what Colin Simmons does, because this guy can play the run day one, right? He has his long reach, long arms. He's one of those guys, if he's even being blocked, he can reach over and grab a guy and like, hey, where are you going? Like, he's just an athletic freak. And so this is the type of kid that you normally see at a Georgia and Alabama, things like that. But burn orange, baby, we need you.
Justin, that sentence stands out to me right there.
It really does. And, you know, our boy E does it as good as anybody, but I'm not knocking him down by calling him Tyree Wilson. Like, this kid's better than Tyree Wilson.
This guy's better than a first-round pick?
Yes, 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 absolutely. Because Tyree Wilson should not have been a first-round pick. And ask the Las Vegas Raiders for the last 2 years, and they'll tell you the same thing. I mean, yeah, he had 3 sacks at Tech, and all of a sudden he's a prospect. But it fits because that's what the NFL wants. They want that 6'6", beautiful-looking guy because they can turn him into a great player. Well, guess what? Jarelyn McCoy isn't going to be required to be turned into a good player. Turn on the tape. This dude dominates. Tyree Wilson couldn't get an offer until his senior year of high school. Jarelyn McCoy's on another level. There's some Lance Jackson there from the frame standpoint. And I really think this is a recruitment that Colin Simmons helps with, that Trey Moore helps with, that Ethan Burke helps with, because edge play is going to be really a focus this year. It's something PK has always done well. Now you got Alan Clark in the mix. That guy is going to wind up being one of the best recruiters in the state of Texas.
Yes.
I think all those factors are really matters with McCoy. But at the NFL level, they're going to see his size. It's going to be like Alfred Collins. He's going to be talked about on draft boards for the next 4 years because of what he looks like. And it won't so much be his production. It'll be what he could potentially do at the next level. You know, I love Tyree. West Rusk High School, East Texas. But Jerelyn McCoy is two levels above that cat. He couldn't make it at College Station. He barely got sacks in Lubbock. Jerelyn McCoy is on another plane.
Should be fun to track. We're going to do it all here. So make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. We're going to have a lot of good recruiting stuff coming out in the next couple of days, tracking schools, going to see where the coaches are, all that type of stuff as this class comes together. So like,
let me answer Chris real quick.
Oh boy.
No, not happening. Until Dumont dies, Nico goes to prison, Welch retires, and Jaden Kidd quits. Not happening. They don't deserve it. No pre-order. Sorry.
We will.
There's no Mavericks in this house. It doesn't work. That doesn't work that way. They didn't earn it. Joe's trying to get me to the Rockets, and he's got a great sales pitch. I got buddies trying to sell San Antonio. I just can't do that. So we'll see.
It's tough. Make sure you head to Inside Texas, talk recruiting, talk hoops. We're doing that a little bit.
RT Young has a great story at Inside Texas right now about Trey Johnson and Cooper Flagg. It's a great conversation. I would sign up just to jump into that conversation. It is a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what happens with Trey.
So we'll see you over there on Inside Texas. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.